Jackie Howard, an 11-year-old boy in New York, calls his mother, begging for help. As she listens, his father shoots him in the head at close range. Police say David Huff, 43, uses a Remington 12-gauge shotgun to fire several times into his girlfriend, Yeraldith Tishodi, at a home in Syracuse. Then he turns the gun on his son, Jeremiah Huff. The child, still alive after the first blast, manages to call his mother. She hears everything. District Attorney William Fitzpatrick says she had the unbearable tragedy of listening to her son be murdered. She'll never forget that, ever. Huff is being held without bail. War Crime and Justice News after this.
Nicole Parton, a town is preparing for the murder trial against Brian Kohlberger. On Wednesday morning, Ada County District Court Judge Stephen Hippler issued a directive concerning juror questionnaires. Similar to the high-profile cases of Lori Vallow Daybell and Chad Daybell, the Ada County District Court plans to call upon hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals to come to the courthouse to complete these questionnaires. This process is intended to take place in the weeks leading up to the stage where the attorneys evaluate potential jurors in groups to narrow down the jury pool. As the trial date nears, a media town hall organized by the Ada County 4th District Court for Brian Kohlberger's quadruple murder case brought to light several logistical challenges, especially regarding parking and media workspace. The virtual event attracted over 100 media representatives and provided an opportunity for direct inquiries to a judge. Scott Wilder, a Fox News representative, expressed concerns about the courthouse's accessibility for media personnel, highlighting that while the courthouse has an appealing exterior, its practical use for media setup was lacking. The front of the courthouse is a beautiful view, but looking on Google Earth, it's not practical, he said. If we had a parking lot with a few spots for network and local media together, Wilder suggested, it would be easier. Judge James Cothwin, who facilitated the town hall meeting, recognized these issues but emphasized the limited space available both inside and outside the courthouse. I do appreciate that, and we can discuss it further, but there is no open parking spaces near the courthouse, he said. Those lots are intended for public use, and they tend to be quite full during the day, Cothwin explained. The town hall was held during ongoing pretrial activities, notwithstanding a recent motion from Kohlberger's defense team seeking to delay the trial, which is currently scheduled to start on August 11. Judge Stephen Hippler has not yet made a decision regarding that request. For Kohlberger's trial, 12 jurors and 8 alternates will be selected. Judge Cawthon informed the media during that virtual town hall that jury selection is set to start on August 4 at the Ada County Courthouse, with opening statements expected to follow on August 11. The trial is projected to continue through November.
I'm Drew Nelson. An 83-year-old man in Texas is charged with murder after allegedly shooting a man he knew from church on a roadside and later boasting about killing. Wilmer Clifford Brillhart was arrested May 16th. He's accused of killing 66-year-old Glenn Davis 1 week earlier in San Leon. Police say Davis was found shot on FM 517 near the old HLNP bridge around 3:30 p.m. May 9th. He later died at the hospital. This isn't Brillhart's first homicide, according to the man himself. He was found not guilty in another case, and that victim's brother got to know Brillhart well. He spoke to KPRC.
He was known as Can Man Bill. From what I hear, people would throw cans out when they passed by on 517, and he would go out there and pick them up.
Brillhart and Davis both attended Lighthouse Christian Ministries in Baycliff for meals. Witnesses told police Brillhart had made threats in early May. One woman said he told her he would, quote, put some lead in Glenn Davis's head. She also said Brillhart often bragged about killing others and getting away with it, claiming self-defense. Detectives said witnesses told them Brillhart joked that killing a third person would make him a, quote, serial killer. A Galveston County judge issued a warrant and police arrested Brillhart in San Leon with help from the Texas Department of Public Safety Special Response Team. He remains in the Galveston
Jefferson County Jail on a $500,000 bond. Court records show Brillhart was arrested in 2014 for the shooting death of 31-year-old James Warren. In that case, Brillhart called 911 and said he acted in self-defense. Here again is James' brother, Joseph Warren.
I think they said that my brother was the aggressor, but the witness that was there that said what he saw, that my brother didn't approach the truck, but this man got out of his truck. He was sitting there waiting on my brother.
Joseph Warren says he now stands with Davis's family.
Whenever we have justice for Glenn, then my family can finally rest as well.
I'm Jennifer Gould. The serene, ultra-exclusive enclave of Montecito, California, has been rocked by a scene straight out of a Hollywood thriller, a violent break-in at the sprawling estate of Beanie Babies billionaire Ty Warner has left a 60-year-old woman in a coma, her life hanging by a thread. The brutal assault has sent shockwaves through the affluent community, a haven known for its celebrity residents, such as Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, and Oprah, and its tranquil estates. Raquel Zick with the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Department spoke to NBC News.
It's odd for Santa Barbara County. I think it really shook a lot of our community members.
The alleged attacker, Russell Maxwell Fay, 42, a combat veteran with a criminal past, was arrested after savagely assaulting the victim and then barricading himself inside the lavish home. Sheriff's deputies swarmed Warner's mansion on Fairway Road, just north of Butterfly Beach, after a frantic 911 call reported a disturbance at 4:30 p.m. Take a listen.
The suspect is probably still inside the house at this point.
We also have an injured female who was found in the pond with a wound.
Deputies arrived to find Faye had forcefully entered the property and brutally attacked Linda Malik Aslanian, a financial services expert who previously worked for Warner's hotel division. Prosecutors confirm Malik Aslanian, 60, suffered severe brain injuries and remains comatose, her future uncertain. Faye, displaying bizarre behavior, claimed the mansion was his and demanded that everyone leave. He then barricaded himself in an upstairs bathroom, leading to a tense standoff before deputies finally took him into custody. Faye was charged with attempted murder, burglary, kidnapping, and assault, and other charges. He's being held at the Santa Barbara County Southern Branch Jail and is not eligible for bail as he's been deemed a threat to the community. Court documents highlight Faye's criminal history, including prior convictions for domestic violence and unsatisfactory parole performance. Ty Warner, the 80-year-old CEO of Ty Inc., who famously amassed a $6 billion fortune through his Beanie Babies empire, was home during the terrifying ordeal, but escaped unharmed. He has not commented publicly on the incident. Authorities are continuing to investigate the motive behind Faye's actions. So far, there is no known connection between the suspect and the victims. For the latest crime and justice news, follow the Crime Alert Hourly Update on your favorite podcast app. With this Crime Alert, I'm Jennifer Gould.
How could a beautiful young first grade teacher be stabbed 20 times, including in the back, allegedly die of suicide? Yes, that was the medical examiner's official ruling. After a closed-door meeting, he first named it a homicide. Why? What happened to Ellen Greenberg? A huge American miscarriage of justice. For an in-depth look at the facts, see What Happened to Ellen on Amazon. All proceeds to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.